You know, I was reading Isaiah, and Isaiah prophesied a lot about the coming of the Lord. And I was just wondering, I wonder how well that the people in Isaiah's day could understand what Isaiah was telling them about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because I guess the thing that I kept going back to was they would sacrifice the lamb. And I guess that gave them a forward vision that someday God would send his servant, God would send his son, God incarnate in the flesh would come and be that lamb. But I wonder how well, do you ever think about this? Go ahead, not like you agree with me, even if you don't. Yeah, preacher. Thank you. How well they understood. I want you to look with me at Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse 1. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, Isaiah's prophecy of Christ that begins with two questions. Who hath believed, he said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So two questions that both call for faith. Who will believe because God's word declares it? And who will believe in spite of the circumstances? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Help us to have clarity of thought. Help us today, Lord, as we come together to worship and to praise you and to honor you, God, that we will do just that. But help us be mindful of listening to your word and questioning the things that you want us to so that, God, we might serve you better in this world at a time you put us here. So thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice Isaiah said, who have believed our report? And then he said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. A prophecy of the coming Christ. What a description of Jesus. It's really the miracle of the incarnation. How many, you know, we're getting ready for Easter. How many of you gearing up for Easter? I see a lot of folks that's not here today. They're gearing up for Easter. They're getting ready for that one big push. Amen. But, you know, how many of you just think, well, Easter's coming. Next week's Palm Sunday. The following week, there we got, you know, we're. But, you know, before we do that, we have to think of the first coming of our Savior. At Christmas time, we'd always, in our family, we read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20, before we ever opened presents. I remember as a kid, we did that. Kind of goes back to my childhood days. My kids wonder where I got it. You know, we'd always read that chapter and before we could get started. Well, verse 7, Luke chapter 2, verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for him, for them in the inn. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, you look at these, God's entrance into the world as a baby. I don't know, you know, if you give a lot of thought to that, but when God's entrance into this world was in a manger, in a crib, as a baby. And I look at that, and then we see in verse 52, they're growing up in a family. He said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God, and it says, and with man. And so, Jesus grew up as a man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you know, the tenderness would always be a part of his life. He had time for little children. Lepers and outcasts would come to him. Even his own disciples were like, what are you letting these people? He received the broken, the sad, the sinful. Sometimes he got in trouble because of those that he visited with and talked with. And tears revealed his tender heart. I'm so glad that when we look at the New Testament, we look at our Savior, we see a Savior that cares. I think that's why John 3:16 is so important, that for God so, we can't leave this part out, God so loved the world. Well, when Jesus came, we got to remember, yes, Jesus was born in a manger as a baby, but he was God in the flesh. And so when we look back at this, and then next Sunday is going to be, what are we, Palm Sunday? You know, where the triumphal entry and all, you know, we talk a lot about that. But you know, when he came up before he entered the city, Luke chapter 19, verse 41, when he came up to the city, the first thing Jesus did was wept over it. 19, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And so when Jesus looked over at the city of Jerusalem, the first thing he did is he saw a lost people. I get under conviction sometimes, because sometimes I do what I do. I am who I am. That sounded like Popeye. I'm a pastor. I preach. But sometimes we get to just getting so tied up with the things around us that when we walk in, and we forget the world around us is lost. And Jesus, you know, he had a lot going, but he came for a purpose. And before he ever went into that triumphal entry of Jerusalem, he walked over to, and he looked at Jerusalem and he wept because he saw people, if only you would receive me now. So I said, Isaiah wrote about the tender plant. And then Isaiah wrote about, notice that second thing in there in verse 2, like a root out of a dry ground. Israel seems so unlikely to produce him. I mean, they had stoned the prophets and refused their message. They had become subject to the Roman Empire. They actually were under occupation, so they didn't even control their own destinies. They had become outcast among the nations, but Scripture declared they would produce a Savior. And so when Jesus came, he was born to poor parents. He came out of Nazareth, and even the Jews struggled with this idea that he came out of Nazareth. It says that nothing good was expected out of Nazareth. John 1:46 says, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. No prophet had come out of that area. John chapter 7 and verse 52, it says, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth a prophet. So still Jesus came from Nazareth, and he was the promised Savior. Now, God in the flesh as a baby, he came to a poor family, he lived in a poor place, and he came out of a poor country. And that's how God chose to do it. Like a root out of a dry ground. Now the thing I want us to look at too this morning, look at verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 53. The sorrow of rejection. It says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4 says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, notice there in verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men. Rejection brings us into a lot of deep sorrow. His love was rejected. His truth was rejected. His kingdom was rejected. Understand this. When Jesus Christ came and he stood in front of that city and he wept, oh, if you would only receive me. Understand, if the people then, scripture tells us that if the people then had received Jesus Christ at that time, he would have set up his kingdom. Do you understand that? God has a plan. You said, but that's not what, you know, well, what about the crucifixion, resurrection? Yes. God has a plan. God knows what's going to happen. I mean, and there's no, but he also knew that if those people would have received him, he would have set up his kingdom. The millennial reign that we've been talking about on Wednesday, it could have began right there. But they would not. His kingdom was rejected. He was rejected by his people. John chapter 1 and verse 11 said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected by those in his home area. Matthew chapter 13, verse 57. Matthew chapter 13, verse 57 and 58. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, I know what it's like. And I think most of us know what it's like at some point to be rejected. But here he's in his own place. And he said, listen, and his own, the people in his own community did not receive him. I was a youth pastor, for 14 years in St. Louis in Ferguson, Missouri. And I grew up there. And I remember going back there, and Brother Cummins asking me if I'd be the associate pastor of Victory Baptist Church and be the youth pastor. And I thought, oh, I don't know, you know, going back home, I've heard nothing, no good things about going back home, you know. But I did. I went there, and I'll tell you, it was difficult at times. Some of the older people always remember you as Timmy Jack. Hey, Timmy Jack. You know. But that didn't offend me at all. I was okay with that. Because the older you get, the less you're offended at somebody thinking you're young. Amen? And so I'm like, I'm all right with that. Timmy Jack. But things, you know, there was times, you know, that it was a little difficult being that kid that grew up there because they remember you. But the roughest time I ever had was when our teenagers became the teenagers of those who I ran with when I was a kid. Because then I heard a lot of this, well, that's not so bad. Remember what we did? Now, I don't know. They had somebody. They didn't. They had somebody else in mind. I was a good child. I remember down at youth camp one time. I caught a bunch of junior high kids, and they were smoking out behind the bus. And well, I gave them KP. I mean, I told them, I said, "You're going to do kitchen duty." So we did that. But I told him, I said, I got to tell your parents. They're like, no, don't tell our parents, snitch. I said, no, got to tell your parents. I remember going to tell the parents. I remember one of the parents goes, well, Tim, you remember things we did. I'm like, what's that got to do with it? I got caught. And, you know, I think as a parent, you're going to want to know, right? But you remember things we did. And here's what he brought up. Now, don't think ill of me. One time, me and him and a couple other boys went over to East St. Louis, and we went to a fish market. And remember back in the old days, they didn't have the doors that automatically opened. They had the things out in front of them that you had to step on the pad. How many old enough to remember that? How many of you are going, man, that's a long time ago. Okay. We drove the tires of our car up over that pad. So the doors opened. Whoop! And then we threw firecrackers inside this fish market in East St. Louis. Boo, 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 boo. Oh, that was great. Oh, man, we laughed. We laughed and we laughed until those little red lights came on behind us. And then it wasn't so funny anymore. And it was so rude because you know what they did? They called our parents. But I remember him saying, oh, do you remember what we did? Now, listen, I'm going to finish this story this way. This was pre-9/11. You do that. If I'd have done that after 9/11, or you do it in the environment we have to young people, you do. That's like one of these, you know, don't do what I did. If you did something like that today, if I did that today after 9/11, I'd be in jail. You know, it's a different environment. You don't. But the owner of this fish market said, oh, it was a bunch of dumb kids. And he didn't press charges. Like I said, it was a different era, right? And he's like, don't you dumb kids. Here's the point I'm making. Jesus wasn't a dumb kid. Jesus didn't do dumb things. Jesus didn't even sin. And it's hard to, he didn't even sin. And yet, his own people in his own community, if you look at verse 58, and he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Do you see? He did not many works there because of their unbelief. He was rejected by religious leaders. You know, Jesus, when he talked to the Pharisees, they were amazed at how he knew the Bible. They were amazed at how he knew the scriptures. He wrote the scriptures. Amen? He inspired the scriptures. And they were amazed at that, but they rejected him. He was rejected by the crowd at the cross. I want you to turn your Bibles on Matthew chapter 27. Look at beginning of verse number 39. You know, when we're getting ready to celebrate Easter and on, you can't celebrate Easter without looking at the cross. You know, I mean, sometimes we just want to go, and he arose. But there first had to be the cross. In verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now, I want you to see this. Can you imagine this in your mind? As they walked by the Savior upon a cross with nails in both hands, they had beaten him where you wouldn't recognize his face. They'd plucked the beard from him. They'd put that crown of thorns and wrapped it, and they took a rod and they beat it down over his head. I mean, there was nothing but blood. The cat of nine tails that would have just ripped the flesh from his body. And now he's hanging on that cross. They pass by, they reviled him, and they're just wagging their heads. They're just shaking their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders. These are the more mature, the more religious people said, and he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. You know, he died on that cross. This last couple of weeks, now listen up. This last couple of weeks, I've heard at least three people. I've got to lead it. I know I led one person to the Lord this last couple of weeks. That's awesome. But even them and then a couple other different people, I've heard three people say in the last probably week and a half, you know, preacher, I would believe. I would trust him if he would just show me something. I mean, if he would just do something for me, if he'd just show me that he's there, that he's real, if I would believe him. That's exactly what these people said. If you just come off that cross, we'll follow you. Only they did it wagging their heads and laughing. I've had people just earnestly say, well, if he would just show me a miracle, do something. And every time I've said, and one out of three, I've said, he went to the cross for you. He 3 days later, he rose from the grave for you. He ascended into heaven for you. Here's your sign. What was that, Jack? Jeff Foxworthy, here's your sign. I do sometimes. I just want to go, what are you waiting on? Look at creation. Look around you. Look at the world. Listen to the word of God where we're at. 700 years before Jesus came, there's over 600 prophecies he would come. And today we look at where we're at and we compare that to what the Bible says in Daniel and Revelation about where we're at. Trust me, he's coming. But you say, oh, I want him to do something for me. He's done something for you. He died for your sins. And he rose from the grave. Sadly, the sign that some people is going to get, it's going to be a... when because the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And sadly, some won't believe until they stand before him and it will be too late. So we look here and, you know, he was rejected. Have you suffered the sorrow of rejection? Because Jesus knows how you feel and he cares. There's nothing beautiful about the cross. The nails, the thorns, the blood, the suffering. There's, you know, we put up a cross. That's pretty, isn't it? There's really nothing beautiful about the cross until I realize he died for my sin. On the cross, he paid for our sins. Can you look at and this is what Isaiah is wanting to know. Can you look at the crucified and believe? Can you look at the cross and see a king? Look at his suffering and see the Savior? Verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah prophesied more than 700 years, he said he will be a tender plant, the root out of a dry ground. Would you bow your heads with me? He is exactly that. A tender plant. He cared so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, I've got friends and loved ones. I would just like to beat them about the head and shoulders and force them to say a prayer and accept Jesus Christ. But you know what? You can't. You can't. It's not about the church. It's not about the preacher. It's not about what they do. It's who they put their faith in life. And that is between you and Jesus Christ.